Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Steps We Take by Vanessa Garbin. Narrated by Corinne Davies. Prologue. I just wish they would, I don't know, die or something. Yeah, if I could get away with it, I'd do it. I'd kill them for you. And I wouldn't even feel bad about it. Really? Well, maybe I'd feel bad about it. A bit. But I hate them for doing this to you. I think it's more her than him, though. I feel like he's just doing what she says, you know? Like she's manipulating him or something. Are you for real? He's a total dick. And he doesn't look like the kind of guy that gets manipulated. Assholes like that, they get everything. The girls, the popularity, it's screwed up. I know. I just feel like he at least feels something, like guilt or something. But she's just, she is pure. They're both evil. True. And they both deserve to die. 1. Maeve. My mobile phone rings, and when I see that it's my daughter's high school calling, my chest tightens. I stop in my tracks, the handles of my overloaded grocery bags digging into my wrists. Not again. Please don't let it be yet another incident. Somebody toots their horn at me, and I move out of the way so that they can pull into the parking bay I was blocking. Reluctantly, I juggle my grocery bags around onto my other arm and answer the call. Hello, Maeve speaking, I say, my voice surprisingly steady despite my racing heart. Hello, Ms. Daniels. It's Drew Carter here. Mrs. Samagara is not in today, so I've been appointed the Year 11 head of year in her place. I need to speak with you about your daughter, Mila. She's fine, by the way, but there's been... She's been involved in an incident. I take a moment to breathe, to calm myself. This would have to be the third incident involving my daughter in less than a month. How many times does my daughter need to be targeted by these kids before the school finally decides to act? What happened?
Well, the incident, I'm afraid, it was a physical one.
My breath catches. Oh my gosh, is she hurt?
As I said, your daughter is completely fine.
I exhale slowly. If this has anything to do with Addison Lamb and Rome Croft, I think it's time I had a conversation with the school principal. Drew Carter clears his throat.
The principal, as I'm sure you know, is a busy man.
Well, somebody needs to bring this matter to his attention. Ever since my daughter transferred to your school, she has been subjected to harassment and bullying daily. And it's not just at school, it's online too. I'd like some proper action taken this time. These kids need to be held accountable. A young mum pushing her baby in a pram slows her pace and eyes me warily, then crosses over to the other side of the car park. She'll probably go home tonight and tell her partner all about the crazy woman in the car park. While their baby sleeps peacefully in the next room, they'll call me a Karen and have a laugh about it over dinner and wine, oblivious to the parental stress awaiting them in years to come. I find my car and get in quickly, heaving my grocery shopping onto the passenger seat.
Ms. Daniels, your daughter is in the guidance counsellor's office waiting to be collected. Administration will be in touch with regards to a re-entry meeting with the principal.
The hairs on my head prickle. Wait a minute. Why does my daughter need a re-entry meeting? I open the car window to allow fresh air to cut through the stifling heat inside my car.
Because she has been suspended for 3 days.
I take a moment to digest this turn of events and remind myself to breathe.
Suspended? Why?
My face grows hot. I put the key into the ignition and fire up the engine, then turn the air conditioning onto full blast and seal my window shut.
She kicked a boy, Rome Croft. A rather calculated kick aimed at his... at a vulnerable area. He's been to see the school nurse twice.
A sense of pride blooms in my chest. Mila has finally fought back. Although I don't condone violence in any form, sometimes we must rise and defend ourselves from the bullies of the world. It took me 15 years after I said I do in my first marriage to learn this myself.
Mila must have been acting in self-defense. That boy is constantly harassing her. Did you ask her why she kicked him?
All I can say is that Rome's mother has been contacted and there is talk of a hospital visit after school.
I pull a face that I wish Drew Carter could see. He is over 6 feet tall, a muscular football player.
My daughter is tiny. She's barely 5 feet. And are you aware that Mila has been harassed and bullied by this boy and his girlfriend Addison for the past 6 months?
Drew Carter clears his throat for the second time.
Your daughter is waiting. Please come and collect her.
He hangs up, and I'm left clutching my phone in my sweaty hand. I dial my fiancé, Christopher, even though I know he won't answer. He'll be in class teaching English to a bunch of disinterested teens at a high school up in the hills, about half an hour away. Sometimes I wish he would transfer and teach at Mila's school. That way, someone I trust could keep an eye on her.
Chris, Mila's been suspended, I tell his voicemail. Call me or text me when you get a chance, please. I'm heading over to pick her up now.
For a minute, I sit still, positioning the aircon vents right at my face so that the icy air might soothe my frustration. After a few deep breaths, I'm as ready as I'll ever be and put the car into gear. 10 minutes later, I pull into the admin car park at my daughter's school beneath the shade of a large Moreton Bay fig tree, and after taking a deep, bracing breath, get out and head towards the brass-trimmed glass doors of the office, which glide open when I enter. Mila attended this school only because she won a music scholarship. I took her out of her old public school last year so that she could benefit from this private school's specialized music program. But after what my daughter has been through since she changed schools, I've come to deeply regret the decision. What's worse is that she's hardly touched her late grandmother's piano since the move. Instead of her creativity blossoming and flourishing like it should at this place, it's dying. I'd hoped that after the summer holidays, things would have settled down and gotten better, that these bullies would have forgotten all about her and moved on. But apparently, they haven't. The office is cool and has a calming energy about it, which I need right now. It also smells vaguely of someone's curry leftovers and coffee. Hello, I've come to collect my daughter, Mila Daniels. I say, over the gentle hum of the air conditioning. The blonde woman in her mid-50s sitting at the front office smiles and indicates the booklet and pen in front of me with long, olive-green painted nails. Please sign her out and I'll call her through. She picks up the shiny black phone on her desk and, after a few seconds pass, she begins speaking to someone. While I'm filling out the booklet, I notice the change of tone in the admin woman's voice. I catch her eye, but she looks away quickly, her cheeks tinting pink.
Okay, I'll let her know,
she says to the person on the other end of the line and hangs up. She takes her time, fiddling with a stack of papers and straightening a pen.
Is everything okay?
I ask, my pulse ringing in my ears, because I can sense that everything is not okay. The woman takes a moment to meet my gaze, and when she does, she releases a small sigh.
It seems that your daughter has already left the premises.
What do you mean? Mr. Carter said she's with the guidance counselor.
Yes, she was. But while Fiona went into the lunchroom, your daughter, well, she slipped out.
So she's left the school grounds?
The woman shrugs and nods at the same time.
I immediately get my phone out and dial my daughter's number.
It goes straight to voicemail. Sighing with frustration, I pocket my phone.
I'd like to speak with Fiona, please, I say to the admin woman, so that I can at least get an idea of the state of mind my daughter was in when she left.
Mila will have been upset when she left. Suspended for standing up to that boy? She's likely mad, too. I would be, too, if I was her.
I'm afraid Fiona is with another student now.
Great,
I mutter to myself. The admin woman arches her left brow but says nothing. I take a deep breath and remind myself not to say anything I'll regret. Mila would hate it if I caused a scene. She can't stand me fighting her battles, but I can't help but feel protective of her, especially when two people have been ganging up on her daily for months. Who knows where she's gone or how she's feeling right now? And I blame myself, too, for giving her false promises. 5 years ago, when I left my abusive husband, taking Mila with me, I told her we'd never have to live in fear again. That all the abuse and violence and bullying we'd suffered at the hands of her father was in the past. Without saying another word, I leave the office and step back out into the warm afternoon air, which is sweetly scented by the red blossoms on the nearby hedge of native shrubs. Mila is probably walking home. I might catch her on the way if I'm lucky. Once I'm inside my car, I try her phone but get voicemail again. I shouldn't be surprised, seeing as my daughter hates phone calls, so I try texting instead.
Where are you? The school told me what happened. I hope you're okay, XX.
My message sits delivered and unread. A minute later, the screen lights up with a call, but it's not Mila. It's my fiancé, Chris.
Hey, what happened?
He asks.
Is Mila okay?
My throat tightens at the concern in his voice. He treats Mila like she's his own daughter, and I'm so grateful to him for it, especially considering he lost his own teenage daughter, Jessie, only 4 years ago. She's been suspended, I say, my fingers tracing the stitching on the steering wheel cover.
What?
I explain what Drew Carter told me about the Rome kicking incident.
What an absolute coward,
he says.
How could that school believe a single word that comes out of that kid's mouth?
Might be something to do with him being the star player in their football academy, I say bitterly.
God, Chris, I'm tempted to just rip her out of the program and send her back to her old school. At least she has her friends there.
But she is so gifted. She shouldn't have to leave the program.
He sighs noisily into the phone.
I swear, I could kill that kid for harassing Neil. What's his problem with her anyway? It just doesn't make sense.
Chris's voice drops to a low whisper.
Damn, I've got to go. The siren's gone and kids are coming into class. Talk later.
Okay, bye, Chris, and thanks. I release a sigh and relax my shoulders, knowing that Chris entertains the same murderous desires that I do makes me feel a tiny bit less ashamed about the homicidal thoughts running through my mind right this minute. It's human instinct to want to protect your young. Any parent in my position, and I'm sure there are many, would think the same, no doubt. And though I would never physically harm another human being, even the Romes and Addisons of the world, it's only natural to want them gone, isn't it?
2. Mila.
As I walk to the petrol station to get a drink before I meet up with Jackson, my phone buzzes with a text. Guilt floods me. I bet it's Mum again. I just can't bring myself to speak with her. The last thing I need is for her to get all upset about what happened with Rome and then go and fight my battles for me. She'll probably demand a meeting with the teachers at school, or even try to arrange something with Rome and Addison's parents. I'd rather die. I know she means well, and she's just being protective of me because of everything that happened in our past, but it'll just make things worse. I'll be hated even more than I already am. I need to deal with this myself. Still, I take my phone out of the pocket of my ugly tartan school skirt and check. Surprisingly, it's not a text from my mom, but from iPhone suggested maybe Rome. My pulse echoes loudly in my ears. Why on earth is Rome texting me on iMessage? Then again, I have blocked him and Addison on all forms of social media, so I guess it's his last resort. I wonder who gave him my number, because I haven't shared it with anyone from my new school. Or maybe I have. To be honest, I'm not sure. For some reason, the arrival of this unexpected message has turned my brain into a scrambled mess. My knees wobble, so I sit down on a graffitied bench near a bus stop. Rome is probably mad about what happened this morning, but he was the one who approached me at the back of the toilet block. I was alone and wasn't sure what he was going to do to me, so I just kicked him. Hard. It was a reflex action. Something I remember Mum doing to my dad on the last day I ever saw him. My dad was laughing at Mum, his face red and shiny, like always, and he was blocking the way out the front door, his arms and legs stretched out like a big, hairy, man-shaped X. I remember how badly he smelled. It was revolting. And still to this day, I get a cold chill down my back whenever a man with extreme body odor passes me on the street. Anyway, Mum, who at the time was bleeding from her mouth and nose and pressing me protectively against her back, raised her leg and kicked my dad right in the balls. He groaned and went down. Thank God he downed almost a whole bottle of bourbon that day because his reflexes were shot. So while he suffered in apparent agony, we took the opportunity to scramble over his crumpled body and run. Now, I wonder if I maybe shouldn't have kicked Rome like that. It wasn't like he was threatening me or anything. I hadn't even let him speak before I struck him. Oh, God, my life is going to get so much worse. I can feel it. He and Addison have probably already planned some form of retaliation, and the not knowing scares me. Thank God Mr. Carter, who is known for his extremely low tolerance for misbehaviour, decided on a 3-day suspension as my punishment. I would have agreed to a week-long suspension if there had been one on offer. Anything to keep me away from school. I hold my phone out in front of me. Though I know I should delete the message without reading it and block his number, my curiosity and my apparent stupidity wins, and I open it. It seems he's written an entire essay.
Hey, Mia. It's Rome. Sorry about today. I didn't mean to scare you. I was just trying to get you alone so that I could talk to you. And I didn't want Addison or anyone listening in. Anyway, TBH, I'm sick of her crap. Want to meet me at the bush behind school? The vape spot? I'm wagging science. They think I'm going to the hospital because of your kick. Smiley face. I'll be there at 2:15. I'll explain everything. Ah.
My heart drums a furious beat against my chest. Surely this is another setup. Before I can even think about replying to Rome and foolishly accepting his invitation, I get a text from Jackson.
What are you doing outside the 7-Eleven? Thought we were meeting down the road.
WTH? Are you stalking me again, wink face? Just jokes. Where the hell are you?
Down the road, waiting for you, obviously. Now hurry up and get here and tell me what happened.
Well, I'm kind of suspended.
WTF?
I'll explain later. Something came up and I can't meet. Sorry, sad face.
Why can't we meet up now? You're like 2 minutes away. I can see you.
I think about Rome's message, the sincerity of his apology. I believe him, and I'm going to meet him. I feel compelled to find out once and for all why he and Addison have been targeting me. Sorry, Jax. I've just got a few things to do, but you can come over to mine at, say, 4?
Okay.
Great. A full stop. I can tell that he's hurt that I don't want to meet him right now, but I can't worry about that. I mean, I do feel bad for ditching Jackson like this, but I've got to text Rome back and let him know I'm coming. Who knows? Maybe this will be the end of all the crap I've had to put up with since I arrived at this school and herald the start of something good. And once I explain everything to Jackson, he'll understand. He'll be happy for me. My face throbs with heat as I tap out a reply. Sure, I'll be there. Is it just you? He replies instantaneously.
Yeah, trust.
Trust Rome, the guy who has been following me around with Addison in tow, calling me a slut and a whore online, and posting doctored photos of my face on a naked man's body? My head is telling me that I'm an idiot to be agreeing to this, but my heart is saying, give him a chance, or at the very least, go and face your fears and see what happens. I'm probably going to regret it, but I tap out another text, my pulse throbbing loudly in my ears, my mouth dry. Okay, see you then.
3. Maeve. By the time I pull into my driveway, the cold items in the grocery bags have grown warm, and I'm beyond anxious. Mila still hasn't responded to my texts or returned my calls, and it's been over an hour since I left the school. I've been driving around, visiting some of Mila's old hangouts, where she used to meet her friends from her former school, hoping to spot her. But no such luck.
If Chris were here, he would advise me to just let her be, to give her some space, that she's had a horrible day and has every right to want some time to cool off. But no matter how many times I tell myself this, I can't help but picturing Neela wandering the streets alone and vulnerable, tears streaming down her face. Sometimes, when I'm like this, I yearn for my old medication. After Neela and I escaped her father, a therapist who visited the women's shelter we were staying at wrote me a script, and for 2 years, I lived virtually anxiety-free. It was bliss. I was able to get a job and put our lives back on track. But after a while, the meds began to give me migraines, so debilitating that in a single month, I'd used all my sick days at work. And so I weaned myself off the tablets and decided instead to do my best with non-chemical ways of treating my extreme anxiety. The lavender tea and daily meditation did work for a while, for years, in fact. But ever since Neela started getting bullied, my old anxieties have returned with a vengeance, and no amount of tea and sitting in silence can keep them away. My phone keeps pinging with new messages from the Year 11 parent group chat. I'd been invited to join the WhatsApp group by another mum, a woman named Elise, while I was waiting in line at the uniform shop to purchase Neela a replacement school dress. I'd only just discovered that the word ugly, written in black marker, doesn't ever fade, no matter how many times you soak and wash the garment. Elise is head of the school's Parents and Citizens Association, and I can remember feeling a flush of warm gratitude towards her that afternoon. Neela's problems with Rome and Addison had only just begun, and at the time I thought that perhaps getting to know the other parents on WhatsApp would somehow resolve the situation. At the very least, I thought the chat would keep me up to date with all the goings-on at school. Reminders for important dates, etc. However, I soon came to learn that the page is nothing but a brag fest for certain parents. Reluctantly, I open the chat as I lock the car and carry my groceries to the front door.
Excuse me?
I turn my head to see my elderly neighbour from next door, taking careful steps around the rose bushes that grow between our properties. A frown etched deep into her already wrinkled forehead.
Hi, Barbara. Is everything okay? Have you seen Sparkles? He's been missing since last night. Didn't come home. I'm so worried. He always comes home.
She shakes her head and her pale grey eyes glisten with tears.
He's never done this before.
I think about the lovely ginger cat that comes to rub himself against my legs when I check the mailbox, and my heart contracts.
Oh, no. I'll let you know if I see or hear anything. I'm sure he'll show up soon. I bet he's just gone off on an adventure and will be home soon.
I hope so, she says, her face relaxing a little. I give her a reassuring smile.
So, have you two lovebirds set a wedding date yet?
Barbara asks, sounding more like her usual self.
You know you can't run away from marriage forever,
she adds, eyeing me knowingly. I'm starting to regret confiding in Barbara about my secret fear of marriage, of how I worry that once I say I do, Chris will magically transform into a monster. Just like my first husband did. I shake my head and take my shopping into the house. Once inside, I quickly store the groceries away and flop down onto the couch, phone in hand. I can hear Barbara at the front calling for her cat. My phone keeps pinging with more WhatsApp notifications, and out of curiosity, I tap my screen and open the chat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?